Hello, all of you wonderful The Club members, and welcome to tonight's live session, the Wednesday live session. As you know, we have our special guest speaker, Charles Covest, with us tonight, which is absolutely tremendous. And so it's going to be a very insightful and entertaining hour. But I just wanted to go through a few items of housekeeping before we started. So I'm going to go to share screen. And I'll go straight to our club Trello board and straight through to today's card. So the first thing I want to do is actually welcome guests. Thanks to one of our wonderful members who's online at the moment, one of his suggestions to make these Charles presentations available to everybody to watch. And that is a very good way also of people getting a little sneak peek into the club and how we operate. And so to all of the guests who aren't members of the club, welcome. If you wanted to find out more about the club, then just go to the Julie Parker practicesuccess.com, no.au at the end, I've got issues with that one. So the .com address, and go to the page called The Club, and you'll find out more about our community that we've got going on here. The next thing I wanted to also mention was to those people that have filled out, the members that have filled out our check-in survey of how everyone's traveling, thank you very much. If you haven't had a chance yet and you want to have your feedback entered in, I'm just going to put it down there. The link is right there. And once you click on the link, it's a very short questionnaire just to make sure we're meeting all of your needs as members and a little bit about the club itself as well, and extending out to the market with that. So if you haven't yet filled it out, do so, and I get an alert once that happens. Keep in mind that this particular survey, where a lot of them, you're actually identified as who the respondent is. This check-in, you're anonymous, so you're free to say anything you like. I encourage you to do so. I'll tick that one off our agenda. And this was casuals who are made into permanent employees. Another member raised an issue through the week that, oh, not an issue, asked the question through the week that they've got a casual staff member within their team. They've been there for over a year now. So how do we convert them over to permanency, especially when they don't want to go as a permanent staff member, they want to remain as casual. Now, the reason why that is the case, of course, is because a lot of people really do appreciate the increased hourly rate that casual workers earn, and it's difficult to drop back in wage and still see all the benefits of being a permanent staff member. In the past, it's been thought that you have to force them into permanent employment, but that's certainly not the case. So thank you to the member who brought this particular issue up, because I researched it. I rang the ADA HR hotline, gained their feedback, and also was in communication with my sister Jenny, who is the master bookkeeper to dental practices, and she helped me with the response as well. So what I've done here, I've created a casual conversion card. So click on that for the members. You can click on that, and I've got a little explainer up there that any casual employee who has been employed with regular hours for a year must be given the opportunity to convert their employment to full-time should they wish to do so. At the one-year mark, the attached document called Casual Conversion Clause, this first one here, this needs to be handed over to them at the completion of that year. And this just describes what their rights are, that at any point in time, they can put their hand up and say, I now want to be converted to a permanent employee. But in the regular instance where they would prefer just to remain as casuals, I've added the second document, and I've got it written here. You may wish to also issue the attached document, casual conversion to permanent offer document, to gain their intention. And I went searching, trawling the internet, and got the wording for this particular one. And so you can feel free to use this. I'm just waiting for it to load there. It is important to get the employment status correct for your employees. And many of you may have seen information about a recent case that went through the courts where a casual employee, by the court's definition, actually was a permanent employee, and then the employer then had to pay back pay of sick leave and annual leave to that employee on their casual rate. And It was a bit of a horror story for a lot of people, but I spoke to the ADA about this and they said that particular case had things about it. This one's not opening quickly. I'll just open it this way. That particular case had specific circumstances around it that were quite unique to that relationship. And it doesn't normally roll out that way. And if it was to come to court under a normal circumstance, that employee would have been told that, no, the understanding between you and the employer was that it was a casual arrangement. You can change it from this point on. But just to make sure you've ticked all the boxes and you've got everybody's signature on things, I created this Word document. I've made it, kept it as a Word document so you can edit it to whatever you would like. And it just states that under this award, you have been employed as a casual. You now have been, this was your hourly rate. You can shift to a permanent staff member, which means that your 25% loading won't be included on your hourly rate. So your new hourly rate or your permanent hourly rate will be such. And then as a full-time employee, you'll then be entitled to leave and sick leave, annual leave. And then at the end there on the second page, I've added in, I have read the above information and elect to either convert from casual employment to full-time employment or remain as a casual employee. Then employee name, employee signature and date. On the previous page, of course, you add your signature, owner or practice manager provides their signature, and that should be adequate. Providing them that document and that previous document that I mentioned should be adequate to make sure that you can all continue on in your happy way. Everyone's being paid the way they want to and the relationship is very clear legally. So that is kept under our list of docs and links. That's the very top one there, casual conversion docs. So for those in that particular scenario, situation, hopefully that is helpful to you. Ticking that one off. This is how we progress through on our magnificent Trello board, all you non-members. We're so organized. Goodness gracious me, we are the envy of many groups. A reminder, I know a number of you have been interested in the View Medica presentation that's coming up. And just as a very quick reminder, View Medica, I see as a magnificent way of creating compelling videos that can both promote your practice, but also help educate and engage your patients in your treatment plan presentations. And there are so many benefits around it. I'm not going to list them right now, but it looks that they're working on this demo because of the time zone different. They can't do it live. And so I'm expecting it to come through over the next couple of days. And so I have flagged off our next live session on Sunday as the one that we're doing the View Medica demo and presentation. So I'm excited by that. And I'm sure that when you see it, you'll also be excited about the possibilities that it presents for your practice. Engaging patients is enormously difficult. And I've just been reminded about this recently. My mum had a tooth extraction and I was there with her for the discussion appointment time, the diagnosis appointment time, and then the subsequent extraction appointment time. And it intrigued me as to how well she seemed to be engaged and understood all of the directions within the surgery. But then upon subsequent discussion with her, how much of it she either didn't retain, didn't understand from the start, or went in one ear and out the other. It was a nice reminder that we as a group of people are polite when we are speaking with doctors. And so we don't want to force the doctor to waste their time and re-explain something. And we more than likely go, yep, yep, I understand everything, sure thing. And then they go away and are confused about what's going on. So whatever we can do to better educate, better engage and provide better support for our patients in their treatment plans and the treatment moving forward, it will only mean to you more people booking in because they actually understand what's going on. So I'm excited about Sunday. We've been having our daily focus reminders every morning that they get emailed out to you every morning. I hope those are helpful for you and I'm not emailing you too often. But every Wednesday, we're going to visit a fresh daily focus for the week. And so we did have appreciation, rewarding the behaviour that we want repeated in our dental surgeries by our teams. From today onwards, I think the daily focus could be a little bit more of an extension to that, especially since Charles is speaking about effective teamwork and creating effective teams, I think that a very good one is what I touched on when I was going through one of the previous live sessions, just that power of engagement when you look at a team member in the eye and say, "And how are you going today?" And being patient and pausing for that answer, rather than just having this blanket assumption that everyone's happy and on board with everything. You may not get a chance to ask everybody throughout the day, but maybe when you go out to the receptionist, for example, before the start of seeing all the patients for the day, and you're saying, "Can I have this? Can I have that? Have you done this?" Before you do any requests on her, look her in the eye and say, "And how are you today? Are you good?" And just do that quick check-in, eye contact. Make sure you are authentically asking the question, and then ask that question of the rest of your team members should the opportunity arise. I don't want it forced. I just want to make use of those moments in the day where we can get to engage with our team members and show them that we care. And Charles has really been highlighting to me in my world how important it is to show that we care and have a group of caring people within on our teams. So now we are 11 past five. Thank you all for your patience. We are now going to go over to our presentation with Charles. I'll stop sharing my screen and hand the presentation over to Charles. Keep in mind that you are welcome to type questions in throughout. I will be looking at them all the way through, and we can ask Charles in a break and get him to answer all of our queries around this wonderful topic. So, thank you very much, Charles Coves, for joining us. I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Julie. Now, I hope you can see me. And how many hours did you say that I have to speak?
You have 48 minutes, but if you go longer, it's a recording that goes out to everybody as well. So please don't feel too limited with time. I'm sure Okay. Nobody wants you to rush.
And I am happy to have questions, so if you interrupt any time, Julie. So if you have the screen now on SpeakerView, have you got me on the screen?
I do.
Beautiful.
And if anybody out there is not seeing Charles speaking, just always let me know. So Charles has given the permission for me to interrupt with your questions as well. So have your hands poised over your keyboard, and I will be very bold and brave and interrupt Charles as he goes.
Okay, so teams. When I think back at my journey, I've been a member of many, many teams. And right now I'm in a number of teams. This morning I was in a board meeting for the Kids Foundation. We teach kids how to take sensible risks, and we help kids recover from injury. We run education programs for the kids in kindergarten and in prep. So that's a team. I'm chairman of the Australian Institute of Comedy. That's a team. I am on the committee of the Australian Cartoon Museum. I'm a trustee in a team of the Global Energy Network Institute. I'm the president of the Australia-Hungary Chamber of Commerce. I was a past national president of the National Speakers Association. You think dental practices are difficult? Try controlling egomaniacal professional speakers. I was the president for 5 years of the local primary school Parents and Friends Association. I was the secretary of the Lawn Surf Lifesaving Club for 2 years, and then president for 5 years of the top surf lifesaving club in Victoria, and one of the top clubs in Australia from 1977 through to 1982. I played A-grade amateur football. I was in that team. I was the chairman of Victorian water polo between 1980 and 1984. I was on the Council of the Law Institute of Victoria for 3 years. I was elected, and so I was one of the leaders of that. I was the head of the Commercial Law Department of a legal practice for a number of years, the 10th biggest law firm in Australia. So what I'm, and And for 27 years, since 1993, when I stopped being a lawyer, I have run programs for organizations, small, medium, and large, on how to build great teams. So not only have I done it, I've been teaching it in some of the biggest and smallest organizations in Australia. I have also worked with Essendon Football Club, with Brisbane Lions in both in the AFL and with West Tigers in the NRL. And the year that I worked with West Tigers in 2004, they won the premiership, which was the only time they won the premiership. So I have a deep understanding. And what I want to do is in all of my work, I'm driven by Albert Einstein's philosophy of making things as simple as possible. Simplicity is evidence of understanding. If I can make it simple and you understand it, so if I can make it simple, it means I understand it, and it makes it easier for you to understand it, and you can only use this if you understand it. We often hear something, but when we don't understand it, it's very difficult to remember. So don't be fooled by the apparent simplicity, because every element of what I'm going to share with you, I could spend a couple of hours on. But what I guarantee to you is that these seven principles apply. So what I'm going to do is run through the seven steps of what you need to do in your dental practice and in any team that you're a part of, and then show you why that is the case. So I'm now going to share my screen. And some of you may have seen this card, and I think I invited everybody to ask for this card if they want it.
Yes, and we had a few requests, so Excellent. We put that offer out there again.
Yep. So we dealt on this bookmark with this element, strategies for passionate performance in your life, when we were talking about mindset last time. So if people haven't seen the mindset presentation, then have a look at it. So here are the seven strategies for passionate performance in your dental practice. And so I'll run through this. This is the acronym, using the word passion as an acronym, P-A-S-S-I-O-N. So, and Julie, you, I know, speak about this, and we in JPPS are constantly talking about this, purpose and vision. We need to create an inspirational purpose and vision for your practice. The A stands for adopt and observe values. So what are the values of your practice? And then are you going to observe them? And I have found in most organizations that they publish values, but they don't live by them if they're going to cost money or time. And that's when, if you publish values, then it's much better not to publish values if you don't want to live by them. It's truly problematic in terms of killing team member engagement if the values are what are colloquially called in Australia bullshit. Now, for those of you overseas, that might be swearing, but it's not in Australia. So humble apologies if anyone's offended, but I hope you're not. The S stands for spirit, mind, and body at work. So balance mind, body, and spirit in the workplace. The second S stands for stuff-ups, to handle them well. Adopt clear rules to handle mistakes. The I stands for individual uniqueness. Accept and encourage the uniqueness of each person. And what I like to say is that each one of us is a weirdo. That'll be another conversation. We talked about that last time with mindset, but every one of your team members has a different set of beliefs. We'll talk about what these beliefs do, but as a leader of your practice, or if you're a practice manager, this is the great challenge of teams, because you are leading a group of human beings through a bunch of weirdos. So when I had to deal with this rugby league team of buffheads, 40 buffheads, you know, they're not as intelligent as AFL players. Oh, hang on, maybe they'll take issue with that. You know, you have to create a framework so that 40 weirdos can work well together. And that's what these seven steps do. The O stands for organizational learning. So invest in learning, growth, and development. So I honor the fact that you're here during this session, being part of the club. So you have invested in your own learning, growth, and development. But one of the key motivators, as Julie will be telling you many, many times, is that people have a sense of progress. As human beings, we need a sense of progress. And in your practice, if you invest in the development of your team members, that has a big impact on their engagement. And lastly, no downsizing. Be loyal. And so here we are during COVID-19, where the government has tried to help practices keep their employees. And this is one of the true tests of loyalty. Are you willing to keep your team together, even if it's costing you money? So I urge you to do so. Now, that's the seven. I'm going to go through those in a bit more detail, but I want to explain to you why this works so well. So it's simple, it's clear, and that's your guideline. So I'm going to share with you another screen. So here is the steps to create outstanding results for a team and the steps to create outstanding results for an individual. But let's focus on the team. If you want outstanding results in your practice, that's the top line, obviously, you need the real issues to be handled. And that way you're going to get constant improvement. Now, what is required so that you're dealing with the real issues, the true issues, not fake issues? You need open and honest communication amongst all the team members. When does that happen? What do you have to do to create an environment where there's open and honest communication? The answer to that is the fourth line. When team members trust each other and are committed to each other. And the other word there in corporate speak, you know, dental practice, we're committed to each other, we love each other, we care about each other. Trust and caring. If team members trust each other and care about each other, then there will be open and honest communication. So what needs to happen? So the team members, so you've got your nurses, practice managers, the dentists, other dentists that come in, go out. What needs to happen so that team members trust each other and care about each other? They have to understand, they all have to commit to the purpose, vision, and goals of the practice. And so how can they possibly commit to the purpose, vision, and goals of the practice if they don't exist? And so they come to work in the morning and they go, what's the game that's being played here? Are we playing rugby or AFL or are we playing chess? What's the game that the team members here are playing? And so what happens when purpose and vision and goals are clear and the team members commit to it, then that becomes the foundation for I will trust and care for my team members because we're all committed to the purpose, vision, and goals. Now, why would a team member commit to the purpose, vision, and goals of the practice? Well, that would require them to have knowledge of, and it needs to be in alignment with their own purpose, vision, and goals. And so the starting question is, what does each team member want? And this is a really difficult question. What does each team member want? And you're running a practice and you go, oh, I've got, all I'm going to do is give you your money and not worry about the rest. And that's the decision that you have to make, because you have to make the decision to say, do I want a great team or do I want an average team? And I want to talk with you, Julie, later if we have a bit of time, about what the difference is between an adequate team. So you might start thinking about that. Want to get other feedback from anyone on this webinar. What is the difference? Why bother with a great team versus an average team? And if you can't see the payoff, then you're not going to bother. And there's two differences between having a great, you can have the benefits of a great team, or if you have a great team, then what you avoid is what I call the shitty bits of poorly functioning teams. So this is a deep decision that each leader of a team has to make. What sort of team do I want? Now, most leaders go, look, I just want my team to do what I want them to do. Well, that begs the question, what do you want them to do? And because each team member is a weirdo, you think they should know what you want. No, they don't. They don't. And I just want to, for those of you who go to church, I was raised a Catholic. My parents were Hungarian migrants. And I used to have to be forced to go to church every Sunday. But I have a deep spiritual grounding. And I now see that life has a deep spiritual grounding. And I just want you to, for those who do go to church, understand how the churches on the planet are organized. They are organized so that you have to go there at least once a week. And indeed, the evangelical churches have you going 2 and 3 times a week. Why do they do that? And why do they keep grabbing the Bible and keep going through that one book? The answer is because we need the repetition. That's why the club is so important, because you come back to the space of the club and go, that's what I've got to do. That's what I've got to do. That's what I've got to do. That's why I read my goals frequently. And I sit and I meditate on my goals frequently. And so for a dental practice, you go, okay, so do I want an average team or a great team? Secondly, what are the problems that I want to handle? Thirdly, where do I want to take this team? Fourthly, do the team members know where I want to take it? Fifthly, are they willing to commit to where I want to take this? And then when they do, you then have a group of human beings where magic happens. Now, I want to talk about that magic. I want you to think about I want you to think about how difficult it is to improve once you are good. Golf is my favorite example. So when you take up golf, your handicap is 45. And the rate at which you improve is dramatic. It goes up like this. And then as you get better and better and better, the rate of improvement slows down. And once you get very good at anything, it's enormously difficult to improve. And so in golf, if your handicap is 4, to improve by one stroke is enormously difficult. When your handicap is 27, to improve by one stroke, your handicap is very easy. Similarly, with swimming 100 meters. Swim 100 meters in 70 seconds, quite easy after a month or so of training to get that down to 68, 67 seconds for 100 meters. However, when you're swimming at 50 seconds, for 100 meters to get 1/10, to get 1/100th of an improvement, enormously difficult. Now, the interesting principle is that once you are a good team, the magic happens in that last 1%, in a tiny 1% improvement, because when a group of weirdos is united around purpose and vision and goals, the sparks, the ideas, the insights, the whole feeling in the place, the unleashing of universal energy, of collective consciousness and global consciousness becomes available to you. You open their hearts, not just their minds. And indeed, it's only when you get this level of commitment that you get the mind open. But when there's trust and caring, then their hearts open as well. And so in the team environment, you are getting one idea after another. And the team members are getting these insights and they go, wow, where did that come from? Just like when I'm standing up doing a presentation, just like today, I don't have a script for what I'm saying today. I let the stream of consciousness come. And if you've created the right environment, then your team members become open to sharing rather than going, oh, gee, I really shouldn't say this now. And they censor where they're at. They're open. They're nowhere near as open as they are in a great team. All right. So the metaphor is the picture that I want you to have in your mind is, let's take a 10-person dental team, 15 people, 20 people, could be 100 people. The principles apply. It doesn't matter how big the team is, because 100 people don't all work together, because every team works. In every team of 100 people, when I was a partner in a law firm of 100 people, there were the sub teams, and indeed the army is made up on a basis of a team of three. Three is the basic building block of the army. But picture your team as either a group of human beings totally relaxed with each other, in normal clothing, in minimal. The picture I had in my mind, Julie, was being on a beach, you know, totally relaxed, just with bathers on and totally open with each other, versus 10 team members all wearing knights in shining armor, all defensive and only saying what they think will be appealing to the practice owner. That's the metaphor. That's the choice. So you can go from total openness and vulnerability to full-on protective. And, you know, they might be okay employees, but you're not getting anything like what's possible from your team members. So what we want is drop the armor. And the way to drop the armor so that we get open and honest communication, as you can see on this screen, where team members trust each other and care about each other. And what's important, care about each other as human beings. I mean, here we are. We've got the Black Lives Matter, which I don't buy into. That's another conversation. We don't have to have that. But we arguably are saying we care about human beings. And yet we go in the workplace. And as soon as a team member doesn't do something that we want, bang, we wipe them and we say, they're no good. No, the essence of the complex lives that we lead is that as human beings, we matter. And in a dental practice, if you have team members who aren't engaged, your job is to engage them. Why? Because then they'll give of themselves. So these seven steps to create outstanding results, that's why this works. I'll come back to my other screen. So we'll now come back to say, righto, I like that idea. I like the possibility of creating a great team. And so let's have a look at these seven steps. Now, before we do, Julie, are there any aspects, questions, thoughts that I think I'm tracking okay on this, but makes sense so far?
And don't be too stressed with the timing, as I say. But George would like you to speak a little bit to team conflict and team members losing focus as well.
Beautiful. Team conflict. Love it. I love conflict. It's like being married.
I'm laughing. I shouldn't have muted myself. We never have any conflict.
That's true. We have minimal conflict.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So The first one I want to talk about. So on team conflict, and what was the other one?
It was losing focus.
Good. On the second one, losing focus, the question is, if you follow these principles, they won't lose focus, because if I was to come into a practice and say to any team member, what is the game that we're playing? What's the purpose of the practice? What's the vision of the practice? What are our goals? What are our strategies? Would they be able to tell me? Would they be able to tell me? And most practices, certainly not. And so how can you have them? You see, the question in maintaining focus is you have to maintain interest. Now, television, how does television do it? And television, George, is the metaphor for that question. What television does these days, particularly with younger people, is you have to maintain the interest. And what television does is it keeps changing the picture. You don't just keep looking at that same picture. They keep changing the angle to keep your interest. And if you don't take steps to keep people interested, they will lose focus. But the overarching aspect of the focus that you want is that the team members know why they are there. That's what purpose and vision and goals are about. And so the purpose has to nothing to do with money. And in for a dental practice, I believe a very clear practical purpose is our purpose is to make life better for our patients through improving their oral health. Full stop. That'll do. So that every morning when the nurse comes in, when every team member comes in, they go, this is the game we're playing. We are here to make lives better for these patients. Now, guess what? That's more inspirational than the nurse coming in saying, I'm going to make more money for the practice owner. That's not going to inspire anything. The vision. Now, this is a difficult one, and this is where the club becomes very helpful, because it takes time to develop this vision that says, okay, you know, you don't have to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You say, what's the picture that I have for my practice? And I think one of the great components of a vision is to have a magnificent dental practice with incredibly happy team members. And just imagine having, it's like being married, like how difficult it is to have an overwhelmingly happy marriage. So many people are not happy in their marriage, and that's just one-on-one. And the conflict that happens in a one-on-one relationship, when you have this vision, we say, this is what we're building. We are building this practice. Do you want to be part of this practice? And in the team meetings, on a frequent basis, at least once a week, because I want to be able to come into the practice of anybody who's a club member and say to the newest employee, what is the purpose of this practice? What is the vision of this practice? What are the goals? And what are the strategies? Now, these seven steps here, these are strategies, and strategies, don't get caught up in it. Strategies are action steps to achieve purpose, vision, and goals. And if team members don't know the purpose, vision, and goals, then how can they commit to it? And if they don't commit to it, they will keep on their suit of armor. Now, I want to deal with, because the question's an excellent question, how do you deal with conflict? Well, same way you deal with marriage. Same way you deal with marriage. You see, because each team member is a weirdo, just think of this one question. I've dealt with this in many teams, in many seminars that I've run over the years. When one team member thinks another team member is bludging. When one team says, I work harder than that person, we're earning the same amount of money. And indeed, the Bible has a beautiful example of that. I think it's the workers in the vineyard. That's right, where the parable of the vineyard, the guy who started in the morning agreed to do it for one denar, and the second guy arrived at lunchtime, he got one dinar, and the guy who arrived with 1 hour to go, he got one dinar. And the first guy says, he was upset. And the first guy agreed to do it for one. The fact that the owner was happy to give one dinar to someone who was just there for an hour, that was the privilege of the owner. Now, the point is this. There is always conflict that arises between human beings because they have different realities. Now, I'll give you one story that helps you deal with this conflict, particularly on this question of commitment, because it also happens in world-class sporting teams, and it's happened in many organizations that I've consulted to, and it's this question of commitment. And the best example is when one of the team members always leaves at 1 minute to five, you know, at 5 minutes to five, getting ready to go, bang, out the door. And the other team members are getting more and more upset. And the solution to this is understanding. You see, because if you create an environment where people trust and care about each other, then they're willing to speak the truth. And so in the team meetings, you have to create the space, or you can do this one. It doesn't have to be in a group team meeting. You can do one-on-one. So what are you upset about? That person's leaving at 1 minute to five. Okay, let's ask why she's leaving it. Do you know why she's leaving at 1 minute to five? No, I think she's lazy. I just think she wants to get away from the place. And this is a true story. And then so we brought the other team member in, and she said, well, if I don't leave at 1 minute to five, I miss the 7 minute past five train, which means I don't get to my childcare before 6 o'clock, which means it costs me another $50 because I'm late and I have to pick up my child from the childcare centre before 6 p.m. closing. Because if I don't leave at 1 minute to five, then I will be there at 6:15 and bang, my whole day's income is gone. And so suddenly, when this story is shared, the person who's upset stops being upset. It's almost shame, not shame. That's not the purpose of making them shame, but the compassion that comes, gosh, I didn't realize. And suddenly the rest of the team does everything they can to make sure that this person can leave at 3 minutes to five. So that this person's unique needs, and whilst we talk about uniqueness, I talk about weirdo, each person has got a unique reality. And so the word commitment, so you're not as committed. Well, you know, Julie, any two human beings get together and say, well, what level of commitment are we talking about? That requires discussion, because the word commitment means different things to different people. The word love, like hello, you know, what does love mean to you? And the teams that I've worked with, and you look at sporting teams, recently in the paper, any AFL team, NRL team, world champion team, the team members say, I love my team members. I love my teammates. I would give my life for my teammates. That's what they say. That's the depth of connection with human beings. And it doesn't have to be in sport, because it can happen in hospitals, in dental practices, in law practices, where a group of human beings genuinely cares and trusts each other and wants to work with each other because they know what the game is. So these strategies, this is how you understand the game. So purpose, vision, and goals are clear, repeated, taught, and everybody knows what they are. Next, the question of values. Now, to articulate these values, you know, this...
Sorry, Charles, can I just interrupt a quick second?
Yep.
Just to remain on that topic, just another member who said, the lovely Ilse has said, so conflict is usually a result of the lack of communication?
Yes. Lack of communication, which led to lack of understanding. Now, it might also be that somebody, a young person who's come in, has no idea of what commitment means. You know, so the practice, so what if the value, if the values of the practice are commitment and quality, excellence, we'll use the word excellence. So we want commitment and excellence and passion. And so this new person comes along, and you know, their whole life, they have gone along pretty casual, and they've come into an environment where values are excellence. No, You need to teach this person, what do we actually mean by these values? Because these words by themselves are wonderful sounding words, but they have to relate to something that you do on a day-to-day basis in the practice. And so in the team meetings, you have to talk about the values. Now, why do you need the values? Because I'm talking about taking off the suit of armor. All right, and so it becomes safer to take off the suit of armor if we know the values that are going to be applying to our behavior. So you need the discussion around it. Just like a married couple need the discussion to say, hey, what's happening? You know, are you okay? Julie, you're wonderful at asking, are you okay?
What can I do for you?
What can I do for you? Next, spirit, mind, and body at work. Now, one of the keys to, for your own health is to have spirit, mind, and body in balance. Your practice has a spiritual element, a mental element, and a physical element. And so there's the practice itself. I want you to picture these three elements. And Julie, in the club, there's through the development of the conversation, is said, what are the spiritual elements of the practice? What are the mental? What are the physical elements? Now, let's go to the physical elements. That's the easiest. The physical elements of your practice are those very expensive dental chairs and the even more expensive receptionist desk, all of the tools, the supplies, the computers. That's the physical part of the practice. And then the look, the physical look of the practice. The mental part, the mind of the practice, is the skills of the practitioners. The mental part is the systems that the practice uses. What are the spiritual parts of the practice? And I've done this work in some of, all of the big four banks. I've worked in teams in all of the big four banks, and the teams where I've worked in within the bank say, what is the spiritual part of the bank? What is the spiritual part of the dental practice? The answer is our values. The answer is the quality of relationships, the level of caring and love between the team members. And by the way, remember, the great challenge of Christianity is loving and caring for people who don't behave how you want them to. It's very easy to love people who do precisely what you want. The challenge is loving people who don't do what you want. What we tend to do, it's very easy to do, oh, look, we just wipe that person. And Christianity demands, no, and our whole society, coming back again to all these demonstrations, you know, we say that human beings matter. Good. If they do, they matter regardless of how they behave. So the spiritual side, values. Our vision is part of our spiritual life. Our relationships is part of the spirit of the practice. And if you look after all three, if you understand this, if you look after all three, then you will head towards having a great team that will build a great practice. It's not a great practice builds a great team. It's a great team enables a great practice to be built. Now, you then look at the behavior. So there's the practice itself and then the behavior of people. So spirit, mind, and body in the workplace. That means fun. So look at the spiritual elements of human beings. There's the mental side, there's the physical side, and there's the spiritual side in the practice, so that we look after people's health. We help them understand how to be healthy, because if you are healthy, you have higher energy. And then higher energy leads to higher productivity, and people feel good, because it's hard to be productive when you're not feeling healthy. I hate feeling unhealthy. So does that make sense, Julie? Well, I'm really making that clear, so that the practice itself has a spirit, mind, and body, and then the behaviors of the team members in the practice, we need to help them do it in a balanced way, so that there's spirit, mind, and body enabled in the practice.
Yeah, and the thought that kind of came to my mind was, one, we've always got systems around the body and the mind of the practice. So but we don't have systems to make sure spirit is looked after or created and then maintained and fostered. And the thought that also came to my mind is that I often say to club members and clients that if you're confused about how to manage any situation, use the frame of parent-child. And if your children were in conflict, what would you do as the parent? Because as a parent to children, you want those children to feel good about themselves, feel empowered, still get the leash extended so they grow and do something and think for themselves. But you want the harmony of the family to be maintained. And so the way you manage your children in conflict, when you think about it, that can be replicated to how you manage your team members who are in conflict.
Yep, agree. And it takes practice, you know. And there's another love talking about parent-child. There's a lovely picture I have of a baby swimming underwater, big poster. And the saying is, everything is difficult before it's easy.
Nice. And the other thing I was mentioning too while you're collecting a book to quote from, I think, is that when you haven't got the stated behaviours that you expect of your team, then when something out of the ordinary happens, such as conflict, those individual team members will default back to their own personal values, insecurities, responses. So unless you plant what your desired reaction behaviour is in your team members, they will naturally behave in the way that they're defaulted to, which may not be a terribly self-aware space or a very generous-hearted space.
And that natural default back to natural way of behaving, the reason why repetition is needed is because it takes 10, 15, 20 times before people can integrate it into their normal behavior. Another great book to look at is this one. Can you see that okay?
Yep, Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life. I'll put a link to it in the card for today.
By Marshall Rosenberg. This is an excellent book, but particularly for those who have difficulty handling conflict. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, renowned globally, and worth having a look at. I will bring it. I don't think I've shown this to you, Julie, but I will. Now, so we're going to keep moving. So the fourth strategy to help us build great teams so that we are building a great practice is to handle stuff-ups well. No one gets better. No one develops any skill without making mistakes. Full stop. That's the way as human beings we function. Therefore, you need clear rules to handle mistakes. And Julie in the club has got a number of alternatives. I teach this, but this is the crucial factor. And if you as a practice owner are constantly making people terrified about making mistakes, then their learning will slow down dramatically. And again, when their learning slows down, then their sense of progress slows down, and then their engagement reduces. So there's lack of focus. You see, focus comes from engagement. If they're not engaged, focus disappears. So there's a real dilemma here with mistakes, because there are two types of mistakes. Please take a note of this. There are attitude mistakes and there are skill mistakes. You can allow skill mistakes to be repeated, a bit like we're talking about with behavioral change, but attitude mistakes, you must not allow them to be repeated. So being rude to a patient is an attitude mistake. You know, and it can be because I wasn't thinking, good, that cannot happen again. But as one of my favorite dental stories, Julie and I ran a seminar and there was a 55-year-old dentist there. And I said, so when did you stop making mistakes on your fillings? When did you become perfect at doing fillings? And this 55-year-old dentist said, I'm still not perfect. That's the journey of life. And it's a bit like handling conflict. When did you become a master of handling conflict? No, it's life. These lives that we lead are difficult, and in a changing environment, okay, because we're going to learn all these new skills. We've got to learn all these new skills. We've got to adapt to new circumstances. We are going to make mistakes more often.
And can I just quickly interject? That's you've just made me think of a way of adapting that quote, that story that you related about the dentist. If you would ask any dentist, you know, what stops you from having perfect fillings, he would say, the environment. Some people's tongue moves around the place, there's a lot of saliva, they keep closing their mouth, there's an anxious patient. There's a whole raft of reasons why the environment, when you're trying to do the perfect filling, can't work. And can I say, that's the environment of human beings. It's nice. Never going to be the ideal environment to create this most magnificent thing. So it does take ensuring that you're doing everything you can to control the environment so it allows the perfection to rise to the top.
Well put. Next one, individual uniqueness. Everyone is a weirdo. Accept and encourage the uniqueness of each person. So again, coming back to conflict resolution, if you say to your, if there's a conflict going on, well, tell me what's going on here. You're not necessarily going to get the truth because again, there are people wearing their suits of armor. So to even understand the weirdness that's going on inside each person's head, it takes time, and you have to create the safe space so that people say, well, I'm upset. Another example of a company, I'll mention the companies. No, I won't. It was a major menswear chain in Australia. I did a lot of work with them. And at the senior levels, there was, in head office, there was always a guy upset because other team members kept stealing parts of his lunch. You know, they thought it was a bit of a joke, but he'd bring his lunch and he'd be looking for, and there'd be parts of it missing. You know, and when the others understood how upset he was about this, their lack of respect, you know, and taking his stuff, they thought it was a joke, and he was most upset. So the problem is you're not responsible for anyone's feelings. We create our own feelings, but when you get to the depth of those feelings, and then it's a safe space, because we talked about, okay, open and honest communication, then you can deal with most conflict. And the danger of a practice is this, that's why the club is so relevant, so useful, because you can come to meetings of the club or ask Julie, hey, look, so here's the issue, because as a practice owner, don't take crap. Don't put up with crap. But you have to teach people what crap is. And the second thing is, if somebody is upset that someone's taking their lunch, they're allowed to be upset about that. Don't let, you know, and so there's this subtle balance, you know, between this is the way we want to run this practice, but we accept that you're not a robot. Now, weirdos, on we go. Two more. Organizational learning, I've talked about that. Invest in your practice, the ongoing learning journey, and that costs money. But I'm happy to say that every dollar you spend in your own learning and development and that of your team members gets returned 5-10-fold. And then the more loyal you are to your team members, and by the way, that loyalty is shown by your implementation of these strategies. So if you are investing in the development of your team members as human beings, not just as functionaries, then that demonstrates loyalty. And then the employees feel that you actually do care about them. Having someone loyal to you, that's a wonderful feeling to have. And, you know, it takes time to develop. It's like a muscle, but gosh, it's such a powerful, wonderful thing when you can create it. And Julie, I know, created that in your practice, and you are very good at it, and so you deeply understand it. But my point about these 7 strategies is this is a clear, simple framework, and it works. It's a framework that works. Okay, thus endeth 5:59 p.m. Any other questions?
Please do send your questions through. We are going to go a bit over. Are you able to hang around for another 10 minutes, Charles?
I am.
Thank you, because it's an important space, and we will talk further about this, because I'd love to provide kind of a fill outable form for practices to actually answer that those passion points to make sure it is an easily implementable thing within their practice and get their whole team involved. Because would you also agree that if a practice doesn't have any stated values, strategies or goals, that where's the value of actually including the whole team in on that process of developing those?
There's no. Well, you have a conversation, but everyone's playing different games.
Okay.
And the other thing that I wanted you to be sharing, I wanted to finish by six, but I'm happy to go a bit more time, is what is the difference in a dental practice between, you know, a great team and an okay functioning team? You know, and how do the nurses and the practice managers and the dentists, how do they actually behave if it's a great team?
Nice. Got a question by George, and this is a common question. And even when I was developing and with your help, I did this as well, Charles, the vision guide that we've got, and all our members have got access to that. And I'll put it as an attachment on this carding so you don't have to go searching for it. But there's mission statement, philosophy, values, vision. So when you say vision, would that be the same as a mission statement? Or would that be
That's a good question. You said the languaging. So you just have to decide what the languaging is, because mission came from the army. Our mission is to take that hill. Well, that could be a goal. That could be a vision. I prefer purpose or meaning, the meaning of the practice, but I prefer purpose. The purpose, this practice exists for this purpose. The vision, that's a seeing word. What do we see in the future that we want to create?
Yep.
So we are architects. So when we're using the purpose we fulfill every day, the vision is, as architects, we've designed where we're going to be 3 to 5 years down the track.
Nice. And maybe the purpose does help tap into the intrinsic motivators that we have as human beings. It was a Daniel Pink's book, Drive, that he highlighted that with extrinsic motivators, that's a financial bonus, a holiday at the end of the year, some sort of tangible thing that a person gets after they've performed well, or a group of people that perform well. And those sort of motivators are very short term and they're variable in value to each weirdo. Whereas, and tapping into the intrinsic drivers that motivate us as human beings, there are three of them: autonomy, so being able to act on your own behalf and make your own decisions; mastery, get better and better at whatever skills you're playing out; and the third one is purpose, that we want to be working towards a goal that is bigger than ourselves.
Yes, that there's meaning in what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. There's meaning to what I'm doing. This, I'm not just on a treadmill, like the mouse in those little...
Yeah, and I think that's a good mental space to come from, that when you're determining what your purpose is as a practice, then what you're trying to do is elicit feelings from people, things that will make them want to move towards that.
To inspire engagement.
Yeah.
That's what it does, because engagement drives behavior.
Yeah.
If I'm engaged, I can then be much more focused if I'm engaged. But what am I engaged in? I don't know what I'm engaged in.
Mm.
Now, by the way, understand that this is difficult. It's difficult to do. It's simple, but not easy. That lovely dichotomy. Simple, not easy. And AFL teams, you know, ignore this year for the moment, but world-class sporting teams where the young players are 22 years of age earning $200,000 a year, and why would they require motivation to stay focused?
Mm.
Because they're human.
Mm. For sure. And I do love the reminder that you have said that just that need of repetition, that it is unrealistic to have as an expectation that once you have determined and drawn up the vision and the principles of the practice, that it would then be retained information by all the employees. And to maintain the engagement, I know that when I was at Dendy, when I had Dendy, the practice that I had for 10 years for non-members of the club, I At the start, I thought it was all of my daily tasks of management that were the most important thing, and that all of the discussions, the constant discussions to make sure people understood the whys, I was doing certain things and taking things in a certain direction, all my thinking behind it, I thought that's all an enormous interruption to getting my tasks done. And very quickly, because of that disengagement when it happened, I started to recognize, oh, the important stuff are those discussions. Yes. And it is one of the paths to the repetition of information is to take people on the mental journey you go through should a patient become upset about something, and then you manage it. In your brain, you're like, oh, I'm going to manage it in this way because I want the patient to leave feeling at least satisfied, and because one of my values in this practice is to delight as many patients as possible. But take your employees on that mental journey that you normally go through. The reason I've decided to do it this way is because remember our values are this. And so there are various opportunities throughout any given day and week, more so week, where you could verbalize the statement of values again and again just by sharing your management decisions and the path you get there that takes you there.
Agree. Now come to this other aspect of what is, from a dental practice perspective, what tangible differences that make if we are a great team, a high performance team versus an average team?
That was a great question.
And I think the club can explore that, because the biggest thing that comes up is this. The test for engaged team members is how many suggestions are you getting from your team members? That's my test for you. That is, of all of the work that I've done, if you've got a team of 10 people, you should be getting from them at least once a week, because I guarantee you they're having this thought five times a day of, we can do this better. And most practice owners get very little feedback from their team members at all levels, because the newest nurse can go, this is a crazy way to do this, because we did it in a better way at the other practice, or this is just a waste of time. And at the Commonwealth Bank, where I did a lot of work over the years, sometimes in big organizations, the ideas get so complicated, people can't engage with them. So there's a real sweet spot in not trying to explain everything for every issue, but the quality and the quantity of the ideas that your team members share with you demonstrates how well you've created this. And your problems, the problems that will be solved at that level, not at the practice owner level, will increase dramatically. And so your life becomes significantly better.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good.
I think keep working on that Trello card, you know, that on a specific, because the point is the great teams, they function in such different ways. And then when you see that, when you discuss it in the club, then you can go, gosh, I want to have a great team rather than an average team of people who are not engaged.
Lovely. We will build that onto the Trello, and also I think this is worthy of another live session, just dealing with team conflict as well. I've got a couple of stories from my dandy days, which will make some of you cringe and laugh, and thank God that it didn't happen to you.
discussing conflicts are great ways to really get, you know, principles for acting, and then distill from that discussion, what's the principle to apply?
Yeah, that's right. And that principle becomes just the way you manage that space going forward. So I think a big part of it too is not to resist the staff conflict and to embrace it and go, well, great, how is the effective management of this scenario going to make our team stronger and move forward more boldly as well?
And not to be scared of the conflict, because we've got a bunch of weirdos. There has to be conflict. And in every relationship, almost every relationship, there's conflict. And so therefore, we have to get better at handling it.
Exactly. Wonderful. If anybody else has any further questions, please let type them through now.
Is there something in the chat? So conflict is yes. We answered that question. Good.
Yeah. And I'm just in, we'll talk about this more, but just that I'm inclined to state as well that people will remain in a resistant position to resolving conflict until they're heard. And one of our deep desires as a human being is to be heard, to be understood, and have our ideas validated. And so don't forget the human beings that you're dealing with, and that they do need to have some, you don't have to do anything about the issue sometimes. You just have to say, tell me what your reality is. And they will share it with you. And then you say, I get it. I get why you're upset. That's it. And that it's come out of their mouth. And because of that, it's reduced down their anxiety around it.
That's a good lesson for everyone on this call, but also watching the review, is to increase self-awareness around your own upsets, to explore what is it that you get upset about, and then go, gosh, would I be willing to share that? Because many times, we're embarrassed about what we get upset about.
For sure.
Happy with that? I will leave. You can do your close.
You're wonderful. Thank you so very much. And just for the non-members of the club, just to let you know, so Charles and I are married. And so he's going to be participating quite a bit in these live sessions because he's also the co-founder of Julie Parker Practice Success, who hosts the club. So he's heavily, heavily involved in the club and the group and the everything. So thank you so very much. Your words of wisdom are so golden. And might I just suggest you leave us with that quote that you mentioned in your recent podcast that came out on Sunday, the one that you crafted.
When one thing unites us spiritually, it overcomes all of the differences amongst us or between us. One thing unites us, so it's purpose, vision, and goals. When one idea unites us, or when you're a Collingwood supporter, and the Collingwood supporters are such a broad range of humanity, but they're all united in their love for Collingwood Football Club, it overcomes all of their differences because they're united spiritually. That's what barracking for a football team does. And I come from a sporting background because I find sporting teams are great, simple examples of how you build great teams. So when one thing unites us spiritually, it overcomes all of our differences.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. You're glorious. And I'll see everybody. You later on for dinner. Bye. Okay, so I hope that was a helpful and insightful presentation in your eyes as well. We're going to certainly build this further out. There's, 2-3 cards that come out of this and topics for future live sessions. I think the topic of team conflict is enormous. And I think the losing focus one, what sort of process can we put into play that's easy and straightforward and takes into consideration that we've got full days already? What process can we put in place that maintains everyone's awareness and engagement with the purpose, vision, and goals of the practice? And so my mind will be turning over that question and will be, as I say, I'll be presenting things in the future that will help with that space. Thank you so much for hanging around for such a long time. I'll quickly share screen so we can close everything off. We've done our live session, no longer top priority. We've ticked off our last item here and we can drag this over to our completed column. That register here will be changed to recording. Once the recording appears, I'll also be emailing it out to the whole list and to all of the non-members. You will be getting an email version as well, so you won't miss out. A reminder, our next live session is on Sunday and we will hopefully have the View Medica demo up and going by then. Hopefully it's been delivered to me soon. If not, we will be talking about team conflict. If we don't end up talking about team conflict on Sunday, I'm adding the item here for next Wednesday. If you haven't been exposed to Charles's podcast, there's also a YouTube version of it. I'm going to add that to the card as well. Thank you so much for joining, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and have a lovely afternoon or evening, depending on what part of the country that you're in. And I hope that your teams start getting better from today onwards. If they're brilliant already, hope they become more brilliant. And if they're in conflict, I'm not suggesting anybody's team is in conflict, hopefully the management of it will just make you a stronger team because of it. Have a wonderful afternoon, evening, everybody. I'm just ending everything. End meeting for all. Ciao.